Hello, I'm James, and I've loved Seinfeld ever since it was part of the BBC Two's late night lineup in the 1990s.
Hello, I'm Steve. I also experienced Seinfeld in the same time slot, except I greeted it with great indifference and only watched the first episode.
But together, we're going to watch the entire Seinfeld series in a show that we call Hello, Newman. Welcome to the third episode. Bit slap bass.
Because everyone does the slap bass when they talk about the theme music, but never the like the vocal bits in the background.
No, which is where the real artistry of the Seinfeld theme tune comes in. And you're listening to Hello Newman, the third episode of another podcast about Seinfeld.
Yes.
Where each week we will watch an episode of Seinfeld, available on Amazon Prime, and provide commentary to it. I'm James, as I said at the beginning. I've already said that, and you're Steve.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. We've already done All right, sir.
Do we need to issue corrections?
Yeah.
So I got the number of episodes incorrect. I said there were 548. there are actually only 20. Is that right?
Did
I get that right?
No. Nine seasons.
Not I said seven.
Because there are seven boxes, you see. Even I got misled by
that. Yeah, but the first...
But you said the first one has three.
The first two seasons don't really count.
What am I doing watching them, then?
Well, you know, it's... I always think they're a little bit like a foreword.
Oh,
you know,
right,
like in a book?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 180 episodes, nine seasons.
Okay, so we've got that cleared up.
Yep. And now we're experts.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, I know who all the actors are in all of the episodes. Throughout the entire run of Seinfeld now, so that's good. Okay, so we're watching this on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
I've got it queued up. This is Season 1, Episode 3, or Season 1, Episode 2, depending on what you believe to be the truth. And we're going to go in about 5 seconds. It's on 0000. Steve, what are you doing?
I've just got my thumb on the volume control here, so once it starts playing, this is good audio, by the way, but okay. Once we start playing, I can just control that.
Okay.
I'm not going to pull anything out, don't worry.
That's good. Okay, you sure? Okay, right, here we go.
Trousers are up.
And I've pressed play. So Seinfeld episode 3, the robbery, starting with... a bit of stand-up about the finger.
Nice sequence, actually.
It is. It's a funny piece, actually. Although it got me thinking about the... is it entomology? What's it called when, like, the how a word came to be?
Etymology.
I don't think you can have that for finger swears, can you? But I was thinking...
Digitonomy? No.
Digitonomy.
No.
Digitonomy works, though.
Yeah.
I like that
okay,
a lot.
Fair enough.
Because I know where the two fingers come from. Because whether it's apocryphal or not, it's from the archers sticking their fingers up at the French or something. But the finger, is that like, did that start with proctologists? And that's how it became an insult. I'm going to stick this finger up your bum.
Yes, and sit and swivel, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess it's swivel, isn't it? I guess that's what it is. This is, Jerry's very neat.
Yeah. This is where he man routines about packing.
He does man routine. I think he was metrosexual before it was fashionable. You think now, Jerry Seinfeld would probably have his own Pinterest channel.
Of like Samsonite.
Yeah.
And stuff.
And he'd show pictures of really neat packing and really neat sock drawers in... and the drawers are like pastel, primary pastel colours, and all the socks would be in perfect circles and in perfectly symmetrical rows.
Because you read that Japanese tidying book.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I totally think he'd be into that. Always enjoy the way that he deals with George coming in. I've always thought that's really cool. I've always wanted to live in an apartment so my friends can buzz on the front door and I can just casually unlock the door and carry on
the first flat I lived in once I flew the nest worked very much like that.
When people buzz, did you say, "Never"?
No, it's a bit better than that.
So the flat's almost in its final configuration, but we're setting up here that it's a very shit flat. And that will become quite important throughout this episode. Essentially, the episode is Elaine wants to get away. Well, we're going to find out in a minute, aren't we? I won't give it away because here's George. I want you to look out during this season for the jumpers of George. I think we need to catalogue the jumpers of George.
It's funny you mention that. In a future episode, I'd spotted one in particular which I needed to point out. I wasn't aware that jumpers were a thing, but I'll have a keen eye out for now.
I guess they were at the time. I mean, one of the things that's really remarkably interesting about this is the early 90s fashion. That chocolate milk he's just poured. Right, a couple of things. Okay. A, how unappetizing does that look? and B, he's just told her that it's a fridge where you cannot...
It's quite watery, isn't it, actually?
Yeah, and he's just...
Is it skimmed?
Possibly. But it's a fridge where he's told her that you can't keep soft cheeses. I'm really concerned about the state of that chocolate milk.
Like it's separated.
Yeah, it could be. Oof. That's why it's so thin.
That's why he's not drunk anything
from it yet? Possibly. Her Oreo work is outstanding, though.
Again, that keeping every character busy, someone's doing something in the background sort of thing.
There we are.
Here comes the setup.
Elaine wants him to leave because she has designs upon his flat. It does look very nice. But the chocolate milk's fine. If you can have chocolate milk in your fridge and it stays fine, then I'd say your fridge is probably working, unless he'd literally just bought it.
Did it come with the apartment?
In New York in the early 90s, every apartment came with rent control and free chocolate milk.
Nice.
I think the song Chocolate Rain was about the end of the free chocolate milk deal.
Because it ended up getting in the plumbing.
Yeah, absolutely. It started raining chocolate in New York. Have you noticed how a lot of these establishing shots, I don't know whether it's whether they've done something with the video that it was originally recorded on, but they look really grainy compared to the actual show. It's funny how this stuff in the age of HD, it really shows up.
Yeah, I'll come back to that in a minute. Just that sequence there again. Just nothing being said, visual comedy. He's going, where's my TV? Slowly realising something's up. Doesn't verbalise it even, which you would get in other places.
Because he's no actor, but he is an expressive comedian, which works brilliantly for him on here.
Mm. Uh-oh.
That was almost a semi-slide from Kramer as well. This is a brilliant example of the childlike qualities of Kramer. he reacts exactly like a 7-year-old child when they're busted. It's brilliant. He's definitely the most lovable of the three because he's the most innocent. I think
there is an innocence there, isn't there?
Yeah.
He doesn't know when he's taking liberties.
No. The world is his playground. So another reason for Jerry to want to leave now. Crime-ridden apartment. Who'd want to live there?
Elaine. Even though the hot water's rubbish.
Well, you have to go to the shop for it to warm up.
So I can't imagine what kind of apartment she was in.
It was part of the chocolate milk surplus.
Oh, geez.
That she had to shower in chocolate milk. That's it. So the really low rent apartments just had dirty water. Or chocolate milk, as I like to call it. Actually, I have to say, if you go to Burger King and ask for a cup of dirty water, you may be sadly disappointed with what you receive.
Jerry's kind of, I mean, he's upset, but he's not apoplectic about this.
He's not. I figure he's making decent money, though. He's a road comedian. He's away all the time. And he's in a obviously quite cheap apartment. Now, I wanted to talk about this character, and I wanted to talk about this character's hair. How how do you manage to get your hair like that? So it looks almost exactly like a wig, yet at the same time being clearly not a wig.
Do you think there's some kind of mould that he sleeps in?
Possibly.
Each night. Yeah, just to keep the hair in that position.
Absolutely. Sort of, and it'd be lacquered on the inside.
Yeah, waves and all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Good joke about the answering machine there, by the way.
Very good joke about it. Yeah, sorry. Yes.
I liked it.
It's good. It's even better when he explains it. I love how exasperated and incredulous they are with each other all the time. It feels like three very genuine friends with neuroses.
Oh yes. I have the disco album, by the way, the Ethel Merman's disco album.
Ethel Merman, that the talent, the disco album.
Oh.
I preferred her in her Ibiza face. More stand up, lots of stand up.
So this helps give some context to the fact that he wasn't all. I mean, he was bothered, but not crazy angry, because it's not the first time it's happened to him.
Yeah. Did you also notice the audio on these stand up bits?
In what respect?
I don't know whether it's this. Now this is going to be seem a bit rich, given the state of our audio. I'm going to criticise the audio, but this was a professional network show, but it's quite it sounds very recorded live, whereas lots of plosives, lots of other sound things.
That's real though. That's realism. Well, that puts you in the club setting. The club setting. Yeah, the comedy club setting.
But you wouldn't expect it now, would you? There's a sort of, you'd expect slickness.
True. Although, I mean, a lot of the modern kind of stand-up specials you see on Netflix are produced within an inch of their life. You wouldn't hear any plosives.
Yeah. I suppose technology's moved on. Plosives.
Plosives,
Technology's moved on in the last 25 years. That's grainy. That looks like the Cosby Show.
So most of, if not all of the show, was shot on film.
Yeah.
Which is why
you
can now have a brilliant HD transfer, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad that the more into the 90s you go, they give up on that and move to video.
Yeah.
And so everything will now look like garbage.
Yeah.
But there are certain external shots
they
would have only filmed on video. They would have gone, oh my God, we need an outside shot, get a camera out there. They would have taken video, not film.
Yeah. But you're right, this stuff's pin sharp, isn't it?
It looks amazing. It's such a treat to be able to see it.
This is a really nice set, actually. It looks like a really appealing apartment, doesn't
That's
it?
That's what I thought when I saw it. I thought, hang on a minute, this is a pretty neat apartment.
I laugh, though, how long it takes them to notice the garden. They've been in there like 2 minutes. The garden's right there. I'm not convinced that the fireplace would be the first thing she noticed, given that she had to walk all the way across the room past the massive bay
Maybe
window.
Maybe she really likes fireplaces. Elaine's got this tunnel vision of the fireplaces,
It is very possible. It is very possible. This is a very cute moment coming up between Jerry and Elaine, which I really like. I'm a bit confused about what all the rooms are, because there's clearly a room behind Elaine, but then I'm sure that when you see it later on, the bedrooms are on the other side. They're so cute.
I love it.
He's mean. I don't think I could be in a friendship with Elaine Bennis. I would be too scared. I mean, I have a female friend who reminds me of her in some ways. I don't know if you know her.
Good use of the space, again, performance-based comedy.
Mm-hmm. It really has time to breathe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which it sort of makes it feel unique even now, that its pace is relatively sedate, but it's still very, very funny. And like you say,
look at all... George.
Yeah. It's creeping in, isn't it? Yeah.
And then they go to commercial with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nothing, isn't it? It's a. You think about the stuff that's come after it that sort of plays up on the Family Guy. Always thought really played up on the commercial break scene ender. Mm. But Seinfeld played those moments absolutely perfectly. Because you're right, that's a really lovely, subtle character piece. It's like, right, off we go then.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, be sure to be back after the break. I like, this is another this is another scene where Jerry's real character comes out. And it's what I said, I think, in one of our other episodes. It's like, none of them are really nice people deep down, you know. It's like, he's got this grody old couch. And it's like, surely you'd say you have it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a road comedian. I'm earning plenty of money. I've got no obligations. You have my sofa. He does play a very good salesman, though, doesn't he? Oh.
Managed to upsell it from 40 yeah. to 50. Didn't have to say a thing.
I love his body language. It's all there, isn't
As
it?
As he comes in.
Yeah, it's yeah. all there. Such a good actor, wasn't he? Isn't he? I mean, I don't think at this point, the point of recording. Yeah, 1996. 1996? 2016. So a simple mistake that anyone could make. Didn't get him. Oh, George has been having thoughts of himself, hasn't he? I don't. There's something I'm going to have to ask you in a minute, because I'm not sure of what it is.
Mm.
There's a thing coming up. There's a game coming up.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I've watched this many times, and I still don't know what the game is.
See, they're kind of out-nicing each other first.
Yeah, aggressively out-nicing yep. each other. It's competitive niceness.
Because they're both too proud to want it, so then they're kind of like offering it to each other, because neither of them are proud enough to say, yeah, okay.
Or the other read on the relationship is neither can handle the other one's ongoing disappointment over not getting it.
Yeah.
That they'd rather just not live with their friend's bitterness. Really get to see really true portrait of George Costanza, I think, in this episode. The neuroses are really out on Front Street now. Oh. That was too late. He did call interference too late, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't see the outcome and then decide.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's such a ridiculous little man. Oh, that the tension's played so well, you can feel it, can't you? It's brilliant. Right.
This is like kids trying to decide who gets the Tonka toy.
Oh, it's exactly you know? It. Although I don't think their relationship has been explained very well yet on a long-term basis. It's given that it's only three episodes in, it's clear that these are really long-term close relationships.
Oh, yes.
They're played really naturally. This game.
Yeah.
I don't know what this game is. Because it doesn't make sense, does it? Because what do you have to put up two or one?
One of them takes odd numbers, the other takes even numbers.
Yeah.
And then as they put their finger in,
something, the magic happens.
So if like one gets a two and one gets a one, then the two wins. If one gets a two and one gets a three, the three wins.
That still doesn't make an awful lot of sense.
But if you were both odds or both evens, then you're likely to put the same number in. And there he goes, he's losing it in the other room.
Good Kramer slide.
And that's like the first, that's for me, that was the first point where it's like he's not just interfering.
Yeah.
He gets proper angry if he can't control the situation.
Yeah. Oh, this is lovely. he knows about the stuff. He's like the little, you'd get these little insights into the world of Kramer. Of course. course he'd do that in the lift to a random man. And of course he'd assume he was guilty.
It's like there's, outside of that apartment, there's another sitcom happening just with Kramer.
Always, yeah. always. Yeah, yeah, that is
nice touch for the collar there, by the way. Absolutely. Sorts it out for him.
There's a couple of times where obviously I've been watching these back recently. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, they're all such accomplished actors. It's so well played. I don't know if I've mentioned that. I think it's really well acted.
Yes.
But this is a nice thing, going back and reminding yourself. It's like, oh my God, this was, you know, it was all there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all there, three episodes in. It's actually a not unpleasant combination he's gone for there.
It's one of the better ones I've seen so far, actually. Yeah. Better than what he was wearing in the opening.
Yeah, it's one of the least shiny, I think, thus far. Now,
there is the Doctor Who jumper.
Yeah, the jumpers of George, the English cricket jumper, chunky cable knit with a deep V. Although, to be fair, if that V wasn't filled in and he didn't have a top on underneath it, be very current. Little anchor tattoo. Here they are in Monks.
This is like him exerting control because he couldn't control the situation of the apartment, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's the same sort of obsessions we've got now. This scene could play now. You know, oh, I can't eat fries, I can't eat burgers, it's all out. It's still the same old... Although, do you think they'd be in Monks now?
Would it still be there? I mean, considering the price of...
I don't know, but I think...
The property in New York. Would a small diner like that be able to afford to function?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know how...
Would it have ended up just being an artisan coffee shop?
Well, that's where they'd be, isn't it? It's sort of... And Friends and Frasier did that.
Mm.
But yeah, I think it's probably a coffee shop now. But I don't know. Have you ever been a diner? Are you a diner? If you're a diner currently open in New York, please do let us know. Somehow. Smoke signals.
Sure.
Try and phone me on my landline.
Here we go.
What's the rent? The phrase of this episode. I like... Friends used to be preoccupied with rent rates as well, isn't it? I don't know what the deal is with rents in the US. I don't know what a protected rent is. I don't know why I'm asking you, because why would you know what a protected rent is?
Couldn't answer that.
I love the blocking in this, and yep. I love the fact they're the only three sat down. They've gone begrudgingly along to this party.
Yeah, but they're pouting.
And they're determined not to enjoy it.
Yep.
And
this answers my question, how is she gonna make rent? She's married.
Of course, so you know. Her husband, it's a joint income family. I'd like to point out
and they keep that. It really rubs it in this scene as well. Oh, yeah. What an amazing apartment. I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
You guys must be ridiculous to let this go.
Look how happy we are. And look how high-waisted my wife's jeans are. We're going to see something that hasn't been seen since the early 90s in a moment. That I remember my wife used to wear an awful lot at the time. And when I think about the logistics of it, it seems like the most ridiculous piece of clothing ever designed. That is the body. If you're not familiar with the body, it was a very tight sort of like a leotard, essentially, with poppers around your private parts,
mm-hmm.
which I can only imagine if they went in a hurry were intensely painful. I think it's another example of the early 90s and clothes very much being designed by men.
Yes. So there's this great moment coming up when Elaine sits back down and she checks her chest out.
Yeah. Again, it's not a written line. You imagine it's something she brought to it. But it is perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd like to see that episode. Oh, here we go. What's the rent?
Great payoff.
What's the rent? And there we go. My goodness.
It doesn't end on stand-up. It ends with that punchline.
Yeah. And it...
Because it would have been weaker with the stand-up.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's had its punchline, it's done its work, and it's got up. And they've had the bravery to get up and go. That's a really fun episode. I really like that. I think at this point the relationships are really starting to pay off. I don't know when this was filmed in terms of the filming sequence, but I feel really comfortable as an ensemble.
Yeah.
But the writing's so intensely strong. It's a brilliant episode. It's very funny. Very linear. There's only one story, but it holds its 22 minutes very confidently. I like it very much. Some very funny parts, and I'm still really confused by the cop's hairstyle.
I think we've got a pretty good theory on how he manages to keep that shape.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched this episode with the first two in a block.
Yeah.
And for me, this was the most effective at setting out the kind of the general theme of the show.
Yeah.
And getting the relationships of the characters over very well.
Yeah.
For me, it clicked in terms of, by this point, that Jerry's stand-ups are in response to the scenes happening around it, that, you know, it's their kind of perhaps summarizing or leading into what's coming up. But basically, from this episode, it started to click that he's giving stand-ups based on the observations of what's happening around him, and you get to see what's happening around him that informs those things. And also that Jerry, Elaine, George and Kramer are all friends.
Yeah.
And that is a friendship that isn't fresh. It's something, you know, you can tell that it's quite long-standing, as you were saying earlier. But they're also all jerks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're also, you know, in their own ways, they're all very self-absorbed. Mm. They're almost friends in spite of those quirks in each other. You know, in some respects, in other relationships, it would almost push people away. But there's something of that commonality in their selfishness and self-absorption and their own little tics and hang-ups that kind of just compel them to stick together.
Yeah.
And all of that really came across strong in this one. So, I mean, in terms of, is this going to be the best episode throughout the entire run? Probably not. But is it the episode that really helped click the relationships and the settings and the things?
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
And it's just as well that it happens as early on in the show's life as it does.
Where does it sit for you then in the series? Because this is the first series, 5 episodes. Where does it sit for you in those episodes?
In the first 3 that I've seen?
Yes. Well, I think you've seen the whole series, have you not, at this point?
I've seen 2 more, and we will talk about those in future episodes.
One day.
I still think this is the strongest.
Sure.
The strongest single standalone episode.
It's brilliant in so much as I love the fact that this is the first time that you really get to see George Costanza's personality, like the neuroses are fully out on display, which is hilarious. His reaction to losing the game is so funny. And Elaine's really, I was going to say minx-like, and that feels like a patronising word to use, but she's really devious. I really like it. But no, it's a very funny episode. I enjoy it. I think Jerry himself seems a lot more relaxed in this one.
Yes,
seems a lot
definitely.
More sort of freewheeling, and his character is at its best when he's acting, when he's presenting laid back amidst the chaos of Elaine and George.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, he clearly isn't. It's a great episode.
Yeah, good.
Thank you for listening along. We'll be back again soon with another episode, but
we shall.
Until then, bye bye.
See ya.